A woman well into her 80s lies in a nursing home bed. She's propped up to receive a visitor, her pastor, but she doesn't have much ability for conversation. Between the dementia, which has robbed her of her gracious style, and the morphine, which is being administered to ease the pain caused by cancer, she's foggy and confused. She smiles in response to her pastor's encouraging words, but her efforts to reply come out all garbled. The pastor offers a prayer, and then is startled when the woman in the bed begins to recite in a crystal clear voice, "O God, our help in ages past, our hope in years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home." She doesn't stop there. "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, a shelter he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing." She goes on, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." She can unspool the second, third, and fourth verses of all the hymns, not just the first. In fact, she way outdoes the pastor. "When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun," she concludes. This is a woman who has embraced and absorbed the lesson of Isaiah 63, verses 7 through 9. "I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel that God has shown according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, 'Surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely.' And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but God's own presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old." Advanced in years, sick, tired, yet confident that the God who has always lifted up and carried God's people will personally lift up and carry her. The woman confined to her bed in the nursing home is a shining example of faith in every season. She helps us to remember that today is a day of praise and rejoicing, not because our lives and our world have suddenly become devoid of anguishing problems and looming difficulties, but because we can be certain that God is with us, using God's power of love for our good and for the good of all people and creatures on earth. The Bible affirms over and over again that we have compelling reason to praise God, whether our current circumstances appear bountiful or dire. Let's listen again to Psalm 148. We've read some of these lines in our responsive reading, but I'm going to read 13 verses of this psalm. "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord." Why? Because God commanded, and they were created. God established them forever and ever, and fixed their bounds which cannot be passed. "Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling God's command, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together, let them praise the name of the Lord." Why? "For God's name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven." Our very existence depends upon God's expansive generosity. by means yet beyond our full comprehension, although science helps us get glimpses of the elegance of it all, God created the multifaceted beauty of the earth and everything that fills it. God is responsible for order and proper relationship so that we can grow in our understanding of what consequences our actions will have, and we can count on certain things to always be true. God's glory, which scholar and preacher Brennan Manning describes as implying weight, significance, greatness, power, holiness, grandeur, and unbearably brilliant light, God's glory remains an all-encompassing presence, capable of blessing, enlightening, and guiding us if only we are willing. If this were not enough reason to praise, Christmas has now brought us the astonishing and wonderful revelation that God, the awesome, majestic, and splendid, is come among us as one of us, in a form both fragile and vulnerable, yet at the same time stunningly strong, compassionate, and merciful. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. As theologian Walter Brueggemann puts it, the birth of Jesus dissolves the world into exuberant praise, sung by sea monsters and fruit trees, people in all places and stations, by all of creation, by God's beloved people. We sing praise not because we have escaped the human or earthly condition with its attendant struggles and trials, but because God is with us, whatever our condition may be, loving us into God's future. Furthermore, the testimony of Jesus from beginning to end confirms for us that God's good, kind, and glorious future cannot be stopped by powers of greed or destruction or violent death. Although these powers, personified by Herod and those who do his bidding, chase after Jesus from the moment of his birth and think that killing him is going to put an end to his gracious and expansive love, they are wrong. God's steadfast love and faithfulness, God's power for life and truth ultimately cannot be overcome. No wonder, says Brueggemann, no wonder creeping things and flying birds, wild animals, and all cattle dance and sing their praise. The invitation and the recommendation to praise God for the blessings of life and salvation and tender care does not require that we deny the reality of our pain and suffering. The weeping of parents who have lost their children is part of the Christmas story in Matthew's Gospel, as is the need for the wise men to be astute in avoiding Herod, and the desperate urgency of Mary and Joseph to flee at once to a distant country in order to protect the baby in their care. Praise is suggested as a way to help us find or hold fast to our hope in the midst of our present sorrows. When Maury Schwartz was slowly dying, yet still living with Lou Gehrig's disease, he was asked one day by his friend Mitch Albom if he ever felt sorry for himself. "Yes, I do," was Maury's honest answer, "sometimes in the mornings. That's when I grieve. I feel around my body. I move my fingers and my hands, whatever I can still move, and I mourn what I have lost. I mourn the slow, insidious way in which I am dying. But then I stop." "Just like that?" asked Mitch, who earned the right to ask these questions by showing up to visit Maury consistently at the same time each week. "Yeah, I give myself a good cry if I need it," explained Maury. "And then I concentrate on all the good things still in my life, on the people who are coming to see me, on the stories I am going to hear, on you, if it's Tuesday, because we're Tuesday people." Tuesday people might be another name for people of faith who remember to give thanks and praise even while the tears of sorrow and regret are still damp on our faces. We don't have to pretend that life's perfect when that's not what we see and feel, or that we're not struggling when it's quite obvious that we are. In fact, letting ourselves name and grieve the hard things might actually help us. And once we do that, we are encouraged to lean on God, who has lifted up and carried God's people all the days of old, and has now come into the world as the Christ child to redeem and restore us. Jesus is dazzling light, presented in humble form. Jesus is one of us, yet filled with the spirit of holiness. Jesus experiences our human hardships, and he lives still that he might help us face them. That is why we sing praise. Flora Vollmer was a child growing up in Germany during World War II, and so she experienced personally some of the terrors that the world can inflict. And she reminds us that Jesus knows all about our personal, communal, political, financial, theological, and apocalyptic anxieties. In the world to which he was born, Rome taxed mercilessly and threatened destruction. Poverty and disease were devastating. Enraged zealots waxed ever fiercer. Religious communities and teachings were polarized. End-time warnings were widespread. Flora's faith, tested and refined over the course of a lifetime, is that Jesus came to draw us into a way of living other than fearful anxiety. She hears Jesus affirming that, yeah, there are going to be times in both our individual and our collective lives that life shakes and cracks under our feet. There are going to be times when the lights we have known and walked by will change or vanish. Times when we do feel engulfed and confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves that we cannot control. And this is precisely when Flora wants to celebrate Jesus' words in Luke 21, verse 28. When these things begin to take place, he says, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This is breathtaking, says Flora, the moment of our greatest fear, the moment when the ground shakes beneath our feet, is the very moment of God's deepest presence and power within us, is the moment of our new beginning. Flora's not thinking about abstract moments. She's thinking about real ones, sitting in the doctor's office, waiting for test results, facing a difficult personal encounter, experiencing a loss, admitting a serious mistake, reviewing a bank statement. All these are the moments she has discovered when God is with us with power and great glory. Joy to the world. The Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ. Let fields and floods, rocks, hills, and trees repeat the sounding joy. A man named Michael Christensen decided one Christmas that he was going to take his family down to the church-run shelter to bring food and clothing to the people who were staying there. When they got to the shelter, they discovered a new arrival. A baby had been born. The shelter was not equipped with any bassinets or baby baskets, and so the folks who were staying there looked around and put to use the thing that they had closest to hand, a shopping cart. The tiny baby was wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a shopping cart because he and his parents were staying in a shelter, and that was the only bed available. Now, it happened that at that particular time, this shelter was actually in danger of closing down. Resources had run out. Plans were in place to shut the doors after the first of the year. But this story about a baby born at Christmas and sleeping in a shopping cart somehow got picked up by the local media. Newspapers and TV stations ran articles and film clips. When people heard and saw what was happening, their hearts and their hands were opened, and donations came pouring forth. Money, practical gifts, new volunteers to help run things, and revitalized leadership turned the situation around. The shelter remained operational, and its ministry continued. God really is with us. Let all creation praise the Lord. We're going to sing now with Mary, a song to the child who loves us with the love of God and who promises to salvage and restore our world. God of grace and God of glory, we praise you this morning for sun and rain, stars and moon, mountain and sea. We praise you for health and strength when they are granted to us. We praise you for your unfailing comfort and encouragement in times of illness and loss. We praise you for glowing rainbows, visible in and after dark and difficult times. We praise you for the companions you send us, for all who walk beside us, or share a meal with us, or offer a word or gesture to awaken our hope. We praise you for headway made on difficult problems, for solutions envisioned or achieved. We praise you for supporting and sustaining us when no solutions are in sight. We praise you for the scriptures which speak in many ways of your steadfast loving kindness toward your creation. We praise you for music which helps us express both sorrow and joy. We praise you for the church, which you entrust with the honor and privilege of continuing Christ's ministry from generation to generation. We praise you for the manger in Bethlehem, which you deemed worthy to receive and cradle your love. We praise you for devoted mothers and fathers, for narrow escapes, for the gentle care of strangers. We praise you for your wisdom and compassion, your justice and mercy, your greatness beyond all measure and comprehension. We do not have the words to adequately praise you, O God, and so we simply join in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.